Implementing accessibility for the print disabled at the university system level. To present it, we have the Senior Director of Academic Technology Services and Executive Director of Merlot. Multimedia education, research and learning opportunities, online teaching is what Merlot stands for. California State University Office of the Chancellor, a person who has come to talk with us and to work with us in the last few years about equal access to information and demonstrating a commitment to it. Here is Dr. Gerard Henley.
Thank you very much. Great. It's great to be here. This is my first NFB convention, and I must say, you folks are the most energetic, committed, and fun-loving family of people I've met in many, many years, and I really want to thank you for being here. It's an honor to speak with you about what we're doing in the California State University and our Accessible Technology Initiative. I want to thank Mark Riccobona very much for the invitation, and the NFB staff, Dan Goldstein, for many of the advice and guidance that's been very helpful for the California State University. To fulfill our commitment to teach every student who becomes our student with the same opportunity, the same success, and the same dignity as every student who becomes one of our students in the CSU. Just a little context about the Cal State system. We're the largest four-year baccalaureate degree granting institution in the US. That's over 400,000 students, 20,000 faculty members, 20,000 staff. We have more than 25% of our students receive Pell Grants, meaning we are serving students in financial need, enabling education to give them a life that is enable them to reach their potential. And we have over 10,500 students with disabilities registered in our campus disability services offices. We have a significant population, and we're here to serve them as best we can. Now, we are big, and we have big problems. We are teaching 100,000 more students with the same budget we had in 1999. We've lost $1 billion of state funding in the last 2 years. Our tuition has doubled in the last 3 years. And then you're going to say, Jerry, how can the CSU significantly improve accessible technology in this type of environment? Money matters, but people matter so much more. Right? And the Accessible Technology Initiative is all about empowering every person on our campus, our faculty and our staff and our students, to make choices in doing their work that enables education to be accessible for all. Now, this empowering strategy requires two critical elements. That if we are to make education accessible to all, people, that is, your faculty, your instructional designers, your advisors, your procurement officers, need to know what to do to make choices that ensure accessibility. They need to know how to execute those procedures. They need to know why it's so important to do it, and they need to know the consequences when they do it right and then when they do it wrong. So empowering that individual with training and professional development is essential. And the second critical element is to look at an organizational strategy directed toward maturing the capabilities of the organization to do it better, to continuously improve. And I want to do a shout out to Cindy Rowland and the WebAIM folks for pioneering this work in, and they're in Utah, so Utah over there, great job over there. I want to shout out to California. California, great job there, okay? And that is looking at how do we mature an organization so it can reliably be responsive to all the needs of all our students. And in fact, I describe this as a love management strategy. And what do I mean by that is that we begin with who you are as a staff and a faculty, what you know, and we now say, accept who you are, and now how do we make you better with supported services through this CSU system. Now, how do we execute this empowering process? In 2004, our chancellor, Charles Reed, signed an executive order affirming the CSU's commitment to ensuring equal access for persons with disabilities. Good, but what's even more important, recognizing that accessibility was an institution-wide responsibility that must be managed by all campus units, not just our disabled services program. And they outlined, let's give a round on it. This is really important in looking at also you have to make that responsibility tied to individuals. And so they made sure every president identified an executive sponsor to coordinate their accessible technology initiatives. Now the chancellor, one person implementing an important policy, authorizing our need for change, but it takes a community of people to implement policy. So how do you enable faculty and staff to take ownership of accessibility? And I think you folks here really show how to do it. It's through shared governance, that it's ensuring that everyone is participating in the decision processes and guide how we have to implement. If they don't have a stake in the decisions, they're not going to take the responsibility to implement it properly. So we created an executive sponsors steering committee. Everyone appointed these people, but now how do you empower them to work collectively together? And we emphasize communities of practice, recognizing you are not alone on a campus, but there are people who share your need to implement accessibility in procurement, in instructional materials, in our web accessibility, in the various ways of evaluating products. Now, just because you appoint a committee, does it make them empowered and effective? And there's a little riddle by Abe Lincoln that says, if you call a lamb's tail a leg, how many legs does a lamb have? 4. Simply naming something doesn't make it so. And I think this is one of the challenges that happens in higher education. Simply naming people as executive sponsors or ATI procurement officers or web accessibility evaluators isn't a magic spell that gives them the knowledge and the skills and the confidence to execute it. So what we did in the CSU is we established a key system-wide team, and there's not many of us. There's myself, Cheryl Pruitt, the director of ATI, Mark Turner, the associate director of ATI, and T.R. Rubino-Shaver, to be, I'll call it, our kind of SWAT team to work out there. And our job is to develop the tools, the templates, the professional development programs, the counseling, the hand-holding that provides people the knowledge and skills to execute accessibility in all their jobs. And the second task that we have is facilitate dialogue. We are in meetings all the time because people have to talk. They have to engage. They have to engage in dialogue, which means surrendering your viewpoint so you have a chance to understand someone else's. And our job is facilitating that dialogue is essential. Now, once you have people assigned, you have a facilitating organization, then what are the key tools and strategies that have helped the CSU implement across 23 campuses a system-wide accessibility strategy that's working? The first aspect, every year, campuses have to create and generate a campus accessibility report. And I'm going to talk a lot about that, about how they are reporting their status of their capabilities to deliver reliable, timely accessibility services. We also do system-wide procurement of critical tools. If you have to do web accessibility and every campus and every department is using a different tool and a different methodology, we are never going to raise the standard, raise the bar, and allow people to share best practices. So we buy for them, here's the tool. We give you a gift and not a burden to help you learn how to do it and connect with a community of people. The next thing we often do is build guidelines and templates for helping them set priorities. It's amazing where people want to do the right thing, but they say, well, how do I know how to do what's most important in my procurement, in my web accessibility, in my instructional materials? So getting those people who have a question embedded in a community of people where people can answer those questions and give them guidance has really been essential. Now let me talk specifically more about these campus reports. In our previous speakers, there's a lot of confessions going on we had this morning, right? And what's really important is an institution has to accept, and the CSU will say, we are not fully accessible. And until you publicly declare that, you will not take the important actions to become more accessible, all right? It's critical to do that. And many times people are afraid to do that, and that, in a sense, is perpetuating a denial of the issues. So the first step, it's like AA, I'm an alcoholic, right? You gotta admit it, we're not fully accessible, and we have to have a methodology to know why and where we are not. And this is the annual assessment. Our campuses generate reports in three areas: procurement, instructional materials, and web accessibility. And then we have a methodology. We say in procurement, there are 8 goals that we have to achieve in accessibility. And let me give you an example of one. The ATI procurement plan documents, forms, and other materials to support 508 procurements at the campuses are created and published. These are concrete examples where, are you doing this? And then we even break it down into more fine, we call them success indicators, such as that you have a documented process used to verify VPATs. This enables people to make judgments. Where are we? Do we have these in place? So with these 8 goals, and there are 33 success indicators for procurement. Now, we would never have come to that common methodology across 23 campuses unless we had an active, engaged, shared governance process. You have to have people get together, communities in practice, make that decision because they are applying that evaluation process to themselves. And unless they do it themselves, it won't happen. Now, when you do this evaluation, one of the things that's really important, we took the capabilities maturity model, right? And you say, okay, in this documentation of your verification of VPATs, for example, you say, where are you on this? The lowest level is, we haven't started. Admission that this is where we are, not started. Next step, initiated. I have some ad hoc procedures. The next step, defined. Well, we have some draft documents and we have some emerging practices. Then the next step of maturity is established. We have them documented and we have them consistent. The next step, managed. We're actually looking at our outcome and finally optimizing, and we're enabling to change it. Looking at an organization that goes, I don't know what I'm doing, to optimizing, this is the range of capabilities that we want to mature the CSU to be up at minimum at that established process. So when our campuses, we don't say, are you right or wrong? We say, where are you? Admit where you are so we know how we can make ourselves better. All right? So I think this is an important process. It takes time, but it's a very effective strategy. In our instruction materials, we have 9 goals and 40 success indicators. In web accessibility, we have 7 goals and 69 success indicators, right? And you say, altogether, there's over 140 measures we're doing of ourselves, right? Now, this is important because it allows us to now plan. And again, we wouldn't have been able to do it across the CSU if we didn't bring people together on a regular basis and engage in a shared governance process to say what is going to work, what will be better. Now, you ask this question, Jerry, this sounds like a great bureaucracy, right, that can hide what we're doing, and is this really working? When we measure ourselves, are we making improvements even in this type of environment? And in 2010 versus 2011, let me give you some numbers here. In procurement, and this has a huge kind of impact on accessibility when people buy things that are accessible from the start, 6 of our 33 indicators moved up a notch. In our instruction materials, 15 of our 40 success indicators moved up a notch. In web accessibility, 19 of our 69 success indicators moved up a notch. All right. These are ways for us to say we are making improvement, all right, and celebrating people's accomplishments, because so much has to drive people feeling good about making things improvement. So you say, Jared, that sounds good, but moving up a notch, well, where's the notch that we started from? And here's where we are. In procurement, of our 8 goals, 2 were at the established level, mature processes. 4 were at defined, where there's documentation, emerging practices, and 2 were at initiated. Not good, all right? Now, again, until people recognize where we are, they're not gonna take the step to navigate to a better solution, all right? In instruction materials, we're at 4 established, 3 defined. And at web accessibility, we're at 1 managed, 2 established, 5 defined, 1 initiated. We have a long way to go. And what I'm here to say is that with this methodology, across a system that's educating over 400,000 students a year, where we're graduating 100,000 students, that we're putting in place a methodology that every year we should show we're doing better and we're improving the capability across all elements of our institution, where everyone is taking that responsibility to ensure all our students have the same opportunities and success in achieving their goals. Now, as I said, we got a long way to go, and I look forward to continually working with NFB to make a fully accessible education faster, all right? It is, you folks, I have to say, on the love, we try to give the love to our people, and what you do within, I'll say, inspiring institutions to pay attention to accessibility through your lawsuits. I'll say, keep on going, it's really important, okay? All right. And finally, what I want to say is CSU is committed to openly sharing our practices. So if you're in Oregon or Michigan or Maryland and your institutions go, well, how do we do this? Go to www.calstate.edu accessibility, and we have our evaluation templates online. We have our guidelines for setting priorities. We have templates for creating plans. We have professional development programs. All of this is online, freely available for you to adopt and use and adapt to make a change in the way higher education prepares all our students for success, because collectively we can make a difference, but we have to work together. So thank you very much for this opportunity, and I look forward to continually working with NFB. All
right. Sorry.
No problem.
I appreciate the report, and I appreciate even more the commitment. The commitment is the thing that makes the report work. So we look forward to working with you too. We hope that there isn't any lawsuit in your future. We don't think there is, but we heard what you said.